As you can tell, this means a lot.
Our goal is to make the people of Arkansas proud of Arkansas football because this is a proud damn state.
Go Hawks!
Yes, sir!
Now, Razorback fans, let's welcome back to the Hill, the head coach of your Arkansas Razorbacks, Sam Pittman.
The head football coach of your Arkansas Razorbacks now joins the program, Coach Sam Pittman. Coach, appreciate the time as we're encountering so many different levels of what's going on with the coronavirus right now. What do you think the most difficult part of your job as the head coach, not having your guys on campus?
Most difficult part is just not seeing them, you know, building those relationships, building that trust. You know, it's, you can build trust from afar, but it's a lot easier when you're in front of somebody, and building that, those expectations and those goals together, feeling passion between each other as far as the season's right around the corner, those things. Probably just the face-to-face accountability that you'd like to have. But we trust our players, so we're trusting that they're working, getting in shape, going through their handouts, and obviously we've been having meetings.
So we mentioned the players that you already have on your football team. Coach, what about the high school recruits that you're trying to get to be Razorback? How has this changed recruiting and how you go about that with you and your assistant coaches?
Well, I hope we work as hard in years to come as we are right now in recruiting, but we certainly are working extremely hard to upgrade the talent on our football team like we will next year as well. So we're always trying to recruit somebody to beat the ones we have out, and if they can't, that means the ones we have continued to get better. So I don't know. We're amping up recruiting as hard as we possibly can with the calls and texts and notes and just everything you can think about that's legal to recruit.
How much of your team's still in Fayetteville? What percentage would you put on it that's still there near campus, and how many have went back home and are with mom and dad somewhere?
Well, I would say early, about 90% of the team. 95% of the team was gone. And I'd say now you're getting a little bit more. Dave was our sports medicine man. Dave Polanski was telling us yesterday that they're starting to trickle in a little bit more. So I'd say maybe 35% of the team. That might be high. 30% of the team's back where about 5% of the team before was here.
How much are you worried about all the physical gains made in the off season through the weight training and all the hard work the team has put in, kind of diminishing with the fact that I don't know what percentage of your players have access to weight rooms and gyms, but I can't imagine that's very high, and probably having to find creative ways to keep your, you know, all the gains you've made in the off season in place.
Well, we've done that. You know, Jamil Walker is an outstanding strength coach along with his staff, and they're in constant contact with these kids, which translate into accountability. So these kids know we're going to call them and talk to them about what they did in depth. We sent out three different workouts, one with weights, one with using the resistant bands, one with just regular body. Obviously, there's hills in Arkansas. There's hills everywhere in the world. You can go run a hill. So we've done a lot of different alternative workouts, one to fit everybody's need on based on equipment that they have or don't have.
Coach Sam Pittman with us on the Morning Rush. Coach, you had a really successful weekend. I know that you wouldn't point that attention to yourself, but a lot of your former players at Georgia were drafted. 25 straight years, a Razorback has been drafted in the NFL. How important is that of a pitch to the high school kids that you are talking to that a lot of success has come out of Arkansas?
Anything that shows our recent history and then continuing to go back further than that is going to help us in recruiting. What we're trying to do is basically divert the most recent history with the record. But if you look at 25 strong years of kids getting drafted, you know, the guys at Georgia, they were drafted because they're good players, and we need to get those same type players here at Arkansas. When you say 25 years in a row been drafted, you're saying the history says that we've had those players here at the university. So it helps us. We certainly use it like crazy in recruiting. Just because we have this strong belief that Arkansas is the greatest university in the country doesn't necessarily mean the kids that we're recruiting do. So we have to give them facts that for reasons to come here besides just relationships, and that 25 years in a row is very, very strong.
Coach, we saw the video that you guys put out of your reaction when Andrew was drafted fourth overall, and you said, man, I knew he was the best offensive tackle in this draft. And just to think about the emotional side of things, for not only Hugh, for him, talking to him and his family, or relatively close after that, how cool was it, and how emotional is it when you see one of your former college players get that call and make it to the next level?
You know, it's unbelievable. I didn't think anything could top, you know, being at Frank's place 2 years ago and him getting drafted and then getting a text from Isaiah Wynn about 15, 18 minutes later, and then him getting drafted to the Patriots. And then this year, the calls that I received the night before from Andrew's mom and Solomon Kinley's parent or mama and Isaiah Wilson's family, and then the next day for it to happen. And it's incredible because I know that it can financially change these families. And certainly with that kind of money could come some problems too, but I'm sure those kids have you know, they have agents that'll help them with their money and things of that nature. But it was incredibly satisfying, gratifying for Jamie and I. And I think you saw that. You know, it was hard for us a little bit filming that. You know, the only reason that I asked our film crew to come out there, one guy, is because I had been invited to the combine, or excuse me, to the draft by both those kids. And I would not have done that, but I had been invited. I wanted to capture it, in all honesty, for my own savings for the years to come, so I could have that moment on video.
Has it been hard for you personally making that adjustment from being position coach to now the head coach, and those moments that have been private for you and Jamie, that, you know, because of the social media pressure, because of just it's part of the job now, you've kind of got to let the world in? How's that been an adjustment for you personally?
It's hard because, you know, I told our guys, I said, I don't want anything on my Twitter that's self-promoting. You know, if you guys want to put it out on Arkansas, I just, you know, I never have been a guy to, you know, hey, I did this, I've done that. I didn't do that. They did it. I mean, they're the kids that did it. Now, did I share in the process? Certainly I did, but you know, and that part of it's hard because you need to recruit, man. But also I get turned way off of guys who say, me, 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 look at me, whenever they didn't play a snap, they didn't block anybody, they didn't protect the quarterback. You know, it's hard for me to do that.
We've had a lot of fun this week on the show. We had Travis Swanson on Monday, and about 30 minutes ago, Dan Skipper was with us. Both guys you coached, Swanson for just a year, but you spent a lot of time with Skipper, both in the recruitment process that eventually brought him here. Coach, both of them brought up the pre-meeting meetings that they would come to your office for. In fact, Swanee said he adjusted his class schedule so he could be there even earlier to soak up more of that, and they said how special it was to them. What do those pre-meeting meetings mean to you back in the day when you were coaching specifically a position group?
Oh, they were awesome. You know, a lot of times we'd get a lot of ball done on those pre-meetings, and a lot of times Dan and Travis and Frankie would pick out which lake home I'm supposed to buy whenever whenever I retired, you know, down on Lake Hamilton. We'd have a lot of fun talking about their family. There's a lot more to coaching than X and O's. And, of course, that was pre-meeting, so during the meeting, obviously, was all ball. But you're right. It started out, honestly, as a center meeting so the centers could come in, and then here comes Dan, and here comes Bray Cook, here comes Smothers. And before you know it, we almost had the entire line in my office before the meeting. But that's a big part of why the bond is so close between Travis and Dan and all the rest of the guys. Can I just say this, too, that Travis Swanson was one of the hardest practice players I've ever had. He taught Dan Skipper how to practice, who then taught Frank Ragnow and those guys how to practice. You need one bulldog, and I hate to use that reference because, okay, you need one wild Razorback on your O-line to teach the other guys how to practice. Travis did that. Dan Skipper took that up, and then Frank Ragnow took that over along with Mitch Mothers and a lot of other guys. But you need one guy that can teach them how to practice. Those two guys certainly were ringleaders in that.
One thing we talked with them about, Coach, is the toughness. And let's just be honest, the level of physicality and toughness has not been there, and that's one of the reasons you're here now. How do you go about getting that mentality? Because it's not just about going out there and knocking the crud out of somebody. It's a mentality, an edge you got to bring every day.
You can't play the game if you don't like to be physical. I mean, you have to like to hit somebody. It has to feel good to you. And so the only way I know how to do that is have success doing that action. And you can't do it if you don't practice it. And once you get that feeling, and everybody who's played the game knows what I'm talking about. When you knock the heck out of somebody and it just feels incredibly awesome and you want to do it again. And the more opportunities you have, if you don't practice that way, you never get the feeling. And you have to get that feeling because then you want more and more of it. And again, those two guys, a lot of them, were ringleaders in that physical football, and they liked it. And we have to get our team to be the same way.
So, Coach, you're talking about toughness, and you mentioned how important practice is to get to that level of toughness. When you think about your time at Arkansas with the offensive line, you think about your time with Georgia, and I know a coach is never satisfied, but how long do you think it took for your offensive line, your unit, before you were like, man, they're getting there when it comes to the mentally and physically tough part of things?
I think my first year here at Arkansas, I think you'd have to look maybe midway through the season. It might have been game 6, game 7, game 8, somewhere in there. Obviously, we had the right pieces in the right place by that point. Then when I went to Georgia, it probably took the same. I think we had beaten Auburn maybe later in the season, so it might have took 7 or 8 games to get the pieces in the right place and the cohesiveness of playing together. And so it took a while. In my second year here at Arkansas, I believe we had one of the best lines in college football. I know we did. Our third year, we were in the finals of the Joe Moore Award. And then when we went over to Georgia, obviously our second year, we went to the national championship game, had a really good line, and last year and the year before that, obviously, too. So it takes a little bit of while. A lot of that is getting the right pieces in the right place, too.
Coach, you've transitioned now from the offensive line coach to a head coach, and you've got this track record of success. I know that you don't necessarily like to speak to it because you don't want to act like you're bragging or anything, but it is an important piece of recruiting for guys to see, hey, this is how coach can help me get to the next level. But for the players you're helping recruit and recruiting specifically outside of the offensive line, what's your pitch to those guys when you've had such an amount of success with the offensive line, when you're talking to guys at the running back position, wide receivers, defense? What's your pitch to those guys when it comes to recruiting them to Arkansas?
Well, it's about the team, and I can only control the people, the position that I was recruiting, and the position that I recruited had 7 first rounders and 20 guys drafted. That just doesn't happen. And so we're talking about that with other positions, because it's about drafting the right kid, or excuse me, it's about recruiting the right kid. And if you can, then the rest of it is technique, motivation. And then we talk to them about who we've hired and what they've accomplished with their players as well. But it's all about, to be honest with you, it's all about what are the expectations. And the expectations for the people in our program are at the top. They're at the highest that it possibly can be. Along with that comes a little bit of pressure. Can you handle this pressure? Because we're sure as heck going to put it on you, because mediocrity is not anything that we can talk about or accept. So that's how it's been in my position room. That's how it will be with every position on our team. So we relay that to people.
Now, we mentioned earlier that Dan Skipper was with us about 30 minutes ago, Coach. And he has a question for you that he wanted to ask you. Is that all right? Can Dan ask you a question?
Well, he could certainly pick up the phone and call me, too.
We got it on tape. He's got a specific question for you.
The diet plan's been going on the quarantine for him. I've seen him in the office. Has he been in the weight room at all? See if Lucy still likes him, or if that's his bulldog, or if they've had too much together time.
Okay, Skipper. All right. Well, hey, I know he'll walk his big, tall behind in my office here, pretty soon. I'll get back at him. Well, you know, I told the fellas the other day that I've ate so much salad. If them scales don't turn around a little bit as I'm eating salad, I'm going to Popeyes or somewhere and eating me one of them sandwiches, see if that changed my diet plan up a little bit. But now, I tell you what, I have, Barry and I walk, and I've had such a fun time doing that, and I get a chance to wave at the guys driving by and they're honking and all that stuff. It's kind of fun. But the diet plan, since I've been the head coach, I've probably lost about 12, maybe 15 pounds, and I only have, maybe 100 to go.
Yeah. Are you a stress eater? Because I would imagine this job, it's kind of hard to avoid the stress.
No, I've pretty much been an eater for a long time. So I'm a head coach now. I got to look a little bit better. I might be on TV a little bit more or something like that. So I'm working at it, but it's last time I checked, I didn't see old Danny in GQ magazine either. So I think we're about even.
There you go. That's fun.
So, Coach, let me top off the interview with this. I've scoured message boards. I've scoured interviews. I've scoured a number of different things, and I haven't heard you spoken about this. And we tried, at least. I know you get asked a lot of the same questions, but we try to kind of stand out in our own way. As a head coach here at Arkansas, you're entitled to your own nickname. That's just, it comes along with the territory. I've heard Pit Boss. I've heard Boss Hog, the Pit Crew. You like any of those? Have you gone by any nicknames over the years that we haven't heard? When it comes to just how you've been called?
I've been called the Pit Boss for a long time. And let me say this. If we'll have success and I can stay here for a long time, they can call me whatever they want, anything they want. Now, I may block them on Twitter, but they can call me anything they want. But, I think somebody made me a painting whenever I came here, and they put on there Pit Boss, and I don't know, that kind of stuck. And then my wife's Mama Hog. I don't know if she likes that or not. I do, though. I think it's kind of cool. I call her Mama Hog at home all the time. But
yeah,
Pit Boss, I kind of like that.
Yeah, you got to be careful with the ladies when you throw the word hog in any kind of descriptor. You got to tread lightly, Coach.
You got that right, buddy.
Well, Coach, we really appreciate the time. Coach Sam Pittman, appreciate Kyle Parkinson setting this interview up. And, Coach, I know we're dealing with a lot of fluctuating things going on with the coronavirus, but hopefully things will get worked out, and we'll get to see what you guys got on the football field this year.
Let me say this. There's a lot of great people here. Kyle Parkinson is one of those people. And we have a lot of people going to help us win football games. He's one of them, and I'm proud to be here.
Coach, thanks for your time. Let's do it again soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right.